another Sunday evening, and those of you know very well that around this time we have the Better Health Radio Show. Last weekend she was out on other business. This weekend she is here with us. We're speaking of Dr. Renee Boyce. Good evening to you, ma'am.
Good evening to you, sir. How are you this weekend? Beginning of the week, because this is the beginning of a new week.
Well, a slight little bug, I believe, but I should be all right, God's willing.
Okay, I was just about to ask if it was the coronavirus, right? But that would start all sorts of panic. No. Oh, dear. They got corona. I heard of VOB, so let me not say that.
Right. Let's not even go there.
And I will state categorically, it is not I. I am not the person who has given you anything, because the next thing you're going to hear...
You know what it was? The fact that you weren't here last week.
Oh, it must have been that.
My heart was so crestfallen.
Ooh. The other thing I just remembered, on Tuesday, I was in studio as well. That was for lyrical interpretation. I am still astounded, flabbergasted even, as to what transpired in the studio. I mean, words are being thrown, tempers flaring, people turning red and shouting. I'm just hearing my look.
Wait a minute. Please don't hide behind the words. Identify who was throwing the words, whose temper was flaring, and who was turning red. I can tell the public. I'm too dark for that person to be me.
Well, I'm just a little lighter than Greg, so it wasn't me either. Good evening to Ken. I hope that you're having a wonderful...
Good evening to you, sir.
Having a wonderful evening. This evening, we are wrapping up our series on better health. Aiming to be healthy in 2020. We started out with goal setting, and then we had... I don't remember what else we had, but it was all... Oh, yes, we had my friend Carrie Ann in, and we were doing practical steps to get her to implement a healthy lifestyle.
And the gentleman? The gentleman followed afterwards from the...
Yes, my friend Rondell. Okay, mm-hmm. I am going to state categorically, my memory is usually very good, but today it is not. And it's not good for remembering the guests that we have on the show. It's not that I don't appreciate them. So those are the three that we had. We had somebody who would have been dealing with goal setting. That was me, Carrie Ann. She dealt with the practical aspects of goal setting. And we have to check in on her in September, I believe. I think it's September. We have to check back mm-hmm. on her. Then we had Rondell with a very inspirational story. Rondell he had surgery to his neck, and he lost the use of his left side. And he exercised his way back to almost full capacity. It's a very wonderful story. If you know how to find the podcast links, you can go back and look for that story. I think he would have been 2 weeks ago. And yes, today, correct. We have another friend of mine, Andrea Bradshaw, Dr. Andrea Bradshaw. And we are going to be discussing today obesity. I'm sure people are tired. Some people are tired of hearing of diabetes, of hearing hypertension, of hearing about obesity. But the fact that we don't have significant numbers showing us that there has been a change in behavior means that we still have to flog this horse until we get some sort of change in our population. So good evening, Andrea.
Good evening, Renee. Good evening to the listeners. And thank you for this opportunity to speak on a topic that is very near and dear to me. I'm passionate about it. And I agree with you, we're not seeing the results that we want to see. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's something that I think we need to keep pushing, keep making the public aware of the dangers of the prevalence of this problem and the long-term impacts it has for the individual, for the country. So it's something that we need to definitely speak about.
So we were chit-chatting just before the show began, and Andrea informed me that her son that I knew when he was a little tiny tot is now 12 in secondary school, and Andrea is tall. Not a word, Gregston. Is she not tall? Is Andrea not tall?
Yes.
Yes. So it's not my disproportionate view. Andrea is tall.
Yeah, she is tall.
She is tall.
And her son, all I should say. Nothing more, right?
Nothing more.
Okay, very well.
And he's almost as tall as you are.
Yes, he is. 12 years old. Good evening, Jonathan. I know he's listening.
All right, fine. I won't say anything.
Thank you. So tell us a little bit about yourself. We've already found out that you have at least one child.
Right, so I'm actually the mother of three. My eldest is Jonathan. He's 12. Then there's Amory, she is 7, and Dominique is 4. So, my hands are full, like many of us, with responsibilities at home as well as at work. The days are very, very busy. Start very early in the morning from 5 o'clock and often don't end till after 10. So, like a lot of Barbadians, it's a hectic schedule, and you have to think not only of yourself, but your entire family as well.
So. That is true. And it really depends on how you want to raise your children, the amount of time that you put in, the decisions that you make. And sometimes you have to sit down on your children because you see in them potential that they don't see in themselves. And without guidance, they would end up sitting down alongside the road. So that you don't drop them on their heads or something, you know. You put in that effort, and it takes a lot out of us, especially mothers. I'm not saying that there aren't fathers who are absolutely responsible and involved, but there's something inherent about mothers and
definitely.
Nurturing.
Yes, definitely.
So we know that you are a doctor. What type of doctor are you?
I'm a family physician. I work in Enterprise, which is near home, so I work in the community where I live. Outside of that, I try to find time for socializing with friends, for exercise, you know, for relaxation. Just like everyone else, so it's a busy schedule juggling these things, but we have to make sure that we prioritize for ourselves and for our families.
Word of the week. So tell me, how did you become passionate about obesity before we get into the gist of this evening's presentation?
Well, basically, from being a family physician, you are seeing people, you're usually the first point of care when someone has an illness. And obviously we see a wide variety of illnesses, but often there is a common link to a lot of the diseases that you're seeing based on person's lifestyle. And that lifestyle has impacts for us throughout life. So obviously from very young, where we first start developing habits, until we're fully grown, the things you do, the choices you make, will impact on your health. So in my practice, I will see persons from all ages, from babies straight through to the elderly, and I'm seeing an increasing proportion of people who are overweight and obese, and they may not necessarily be coming because of that. They might be coming for something completely unrelated, as it's flu season, as you mentioned.
Maybe a cold
or
something.
Something else they're coming for, but we have to see our healthcare as holistic and not just deal with necessarily the problem that someone may present with, but you want to encourage them to be healthy individuals. Even after they've left your office, they should have left with something that will help them continue to be healthy. So I'm seeing more patients who are overweight or obese, and I think it is my responsibility as a physician to advocate for healthier lifestyles, to encourage others and to be an example to others about what a healthy lifestyle would entail. And I think sometimes we as physicians forget the weight that patients place on our advice.
No pun intended.
And, you know, it's our responsibility, if you notice something that's having a negative impact on someone's lifestyle, to mention it to them.
I think about two shows. I had Dr. Clyde Cave on and Professor Anne St. John. They're both pediatricians. And they both said the same thing. If a child comes to you with a cold or for vaccines or whatever the child is presenting for, it is your responsibility. Sorry. If you notice that child is overweight or obese, you must speak to the parent, speak to the child as well, depending on the age. But something must be done, because it's there that the habits are formed from the time they're tiny tots all the way into adulthood. And we've seen from studies, we've seen in our own practices, that obese children become obese adults.
Correct. And the earlier they become obese, the more likely they are to continue to be obese. So getting children, getting families to start being active from early, so that becomes a habit. It's almost second nature. So for instance, in my family, when I exercise, usually my kids are with me. When they're involved in athletics, because I was involved in athletics, I push them in that direction. So when they're athletics, we try to do things together as a family. Other parents, we'll walk along the track when they're doing their workouts and whatnot. So you try to get kids used to being active from very early, so that then it's not trying to ask an adult at 40 or 50
to do
something
their habits
they've never done.
Or to start something difficult like exercising. We're going to get back to exercise. Let's go back to the beginning now, and we'll define being overweight and being obese. Because I have seen, and the facial expression is always the same. When patients come into the office and I weigh them, I usually calculate their BMI, if they have their ID cards and so on, or if they know their height. And when you tell a patient that, you know, you are obese, I mean, you're not going to put it flat out like you're obese, but you inform them, the facial expression is one of utter shock and horror.
Correct.
Because most people just think they're a little fluffy.
Correct.
But
Because we've normalized it. We have mm-hmm. become accustomed to a heavier body image. And like you say, we use all of these euphemisms, these words. Instead of saying obese, we will say, oh, you know, she's a little thick. She's a little big bone. But there's a health risk attached to it. And we are normalizing being overweight.
And making it acceptable.
Correct. And even patients' perceptions, they will, if you ask them what an ideal weight or ideal image is, they will actually tend to pick a weight that is still in the overweight category because they think that's how they look better or what would be more attractive to others.
And I have also found that many people in our society are still very reluctant to lose weight, especially based on other persons' perceptions. So they would rather maintain either being obese or overweight, having hypertension and diabetes, than to lose weight for people to say about them, oh, they must have got HIV, mm-hmm. or oh, they must have got cancer or mm-hmm. something. And that, I found that shocking, but again, it's become the norm.
Yeah. And it's true. As soon as you lose weight, the first thing people assume is you're ill.
That is true.
Because we have normalized this being overweight, and we've equated it with somehow being healthy or being well off, which it's really linked to quite the opposite.
And believe it or not, illness. Being obese is an illness. Obesity is an illness.
Correct.
So let's get the definitions.
Right. So basically, obesity or being overweight is an excessive accumulation of fat in the body that then puts you at risk of poor health outcomes. And these include the things that we all know, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, stroke, heart attacks. But other things, arthritis, fertility issues, menstrual problems, you know,
depression, mental health issues,
poor sleep because of sleep apnea. You know, it's far reaching. So it is a disease, as you've said. It's not something that we should try to minimize or normalize because we would do that to our own detriment individually and as a country.
And we hear all the time about how much money we are spending on our healthcare budget on trying to treat these non-communicable diseases like the ones Andrea just listed. And so much of that money could be used for maybe prevention, perhaps into education and so on. I am not an economist, but I'm saying that we really do need to have a shift in our thinking if we want to have a population. Sure. Because what we're seeing as well is that younger and younger people are getting amputations or going on dialysis.
Correct.
Are coming out medically unfit because of heart failure and so on. And our working population year by year is just looking smaller.
Correct. And the thing that I think that we don't understand is that the gains that we have made as a society, we would literally be limiting those gains or reversing them because we've made a lot of advances in medicine to treat the complications.
Exactly.
So, you know, we have dialysis available so people can live longer with end-stage renal failure. We have better treatments for stroke and
heart attack. Access to more drugs, newer drugs.
Correct. But all of these things come, as you said, at a very high cost. Whereas it would be much easier, much more sensible economically and even for the well-being of the individual to never have gotten to that stage in the first place. So all the gains that we have made, we would literally be canceling because we are ignoring where it starts, which is with our lifestyle. Before you get to the surgery for the amputee or for the intensive care bed for the heart attack or a stroke patient, mm-hmm. there are changes that we could put in place at the dining table within our homes that would have a greater impact for us as individuals in a country.
We are going to talk about foods, and I know one of the major problems persons would say is that food is so expensive. So we're going to touch a little bit on food. I remember in life there are these things we call defining moments, and I remember maybe about a month to 6 weeks ago, we were making a joke of it here in the studio because a baby came in, and this baby, and I say baby correctly, infant, she was not a year old, and she was 30 pounds. 30 pounds. And when I calculated the weight more than once because I could not in my mind reconcile that mm-hmm. this baby was 30 pounds, mm-hmm. and I could not get her lifted to put her on the bed. And the mom and I, we sat down, we had to have a little heart-to-heart conversation because she's putting that child at risk for developing so many things. And we don't think about how mean children in school can be.
Correct.
The fatter children are always the ones who are picked on. They're the ones with lower self-esteem, the increased risk for suicide.
Correct.
And you don't want to subject your children to these things. Children are already mean.
Mm-hmm.
Why put your child at a disadvantage?
They don't pretty up anything. They say it as they see it.
Yeah, so many nicknames that stay with people. And then as adults, you can see all the insecurities coming out in their own behaviors and their choices. So something needs to be done soon, quick, fast, and in a hurry. And I think in one of the shows coming up pretty soon, we have Professor Anne St. John in again. She's going to be talking about the updates with the Switch It Up program that they're putting in some of the primary schools and secondary schools with respect to the sugar sweetened beverages, to see whether or not we're going to hear whether it has made any difference. We'll see. And I'm hoping that there will be some positives.
And just to touch on that, that's mm-hmm. one issue that I would really like to impress upon listeners. These sugar sweetened beverages, we always think about how much we're eating, but a lot of the time the excess calories come from what you're drinking. And you're not getting any nutritional value from it. There are no vitamins or minerals coming from the soda. You're drinking dye and sugar.
And water.
Essentially, and water. But you could just drink the water.
You could.
Otherwise, all you're having is this high calorie load, which you then will store. Because remember, we always talk about calories, but basically that's just a way of measuring energy in food, because food is supposed to be a fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not using that fuel, your body will store it. So just like your car, if you don't drive it, the gas stays in the tank. But our tanks can expand, unlike the car. So we can store and store and store more fuel. And unless you're actively burning off what you're putting in, you're going to increase in size, and that fuel is going to be stored as fat. And the problem is with these sweetened beverages, for example, I know my patients love to tell me, but I only drink ginger ale.
Oh, whoa,
because
whoa,
apparently
whoa.
Ginger ale is the magic soda. Mm-hmm. But ginger ale has in half of your sugar, recommended sugar intake for the day, one ginger ale. And it is, I think, 180 calories. So I'll give you an example. If I run on the treadmill for 10 minutes at a pretty brisk pace, I will come off huffing and puffing and only have burnt 70 calories.
Oh, geez.
So I
don't
need to keep
me.
Going for another 20 minutes to burn off that one ginger ale. So these are things that I think we really need to focus on, especially with our young children, because they pick up these sugar cravings early. If you're selling them at the schools, they will not be equipped to make the health choices that an adult should be able to.
So unless they see them at home. Unless they see them at home.
Correct.
Yeah, the home is the child's, or should be, well, actually, no, it is the child's first center of learning. And whatever that child learns, it comes from the home, whether good or bad. Because I was going to say it wasn't the first center of learning. But it is. So all the negative habits, poor speaking, being untidy, all of those are things which are learned in the home, as opposed to another home where there's emphasis on speaking properly, dressing properly, having a good self-esteem. And the same thing, those people who sit down and have meals as a family, they're the ones who tend to be healthier, yeah, as
correct.
Opposed to families that are always on the road, like my family. We're always on the road, but I really try to make sure that we reduce the amount of fast food that we take in, and the children have to take to school, water, and so on. By no means have I gotten it done perfectly at all.
Right, but you've started
still trying.
You make the steps that you need to. And the thing is that when we think about it, we would never allow someone to stand outside of a school and sell cigarettes or alcohol. But yet we allow them to sell things that we know will have a negative impact on our children.
Yeah, the things in the packets with
correct.
The yellow dye.
That's just
340.
Powdered sugar and dye.
And salt.
Yeah. So I think we really need to get the message across that this is a health crisis. And the same way that we had the public health education towards tobacco, illegal drugs, alcohol, so that by the time you're in infants or class one, children already know tobacco is bad for you, drugs are bad for you, alcohol is bad for you. They need to know these sodas are bad for me, these sugary snacks are bad for me. So there is a message that has to start from young so that it can continue throughout life. Otherwise, we are going to lose a generation. There'll be people dying before their parents, as it's happening already in America.
Yes, it is. And it is a very sad state of affairs, because unfortunately, persons are now being forced to work longer and longer because we're beginning to miss that generation between the children and the workforce. Half the workforce is lazy and the other half is sick.
Correct.
You know, well, maybe not half, but so we do have a low problem there. So we're going to talk about some figures, because I firmly believe when Professor Roach was in and he was talking about some of the statistics related to not getting enough sleep, I think that show was one of the quietest shows in the studio because we were all stunned at how ill you can be simply by not sleeping enough. So you have some figures that you can share with us about the numbers of persons who are obese or overweight.
Yes. For example, there was a Health of the Nation study that was carried out by the University of the West Indies and the Center for Chronic Disease Research, and it was published about 4 years ago, and it found that 2/3 of Barbadians over the age of 25 are either overweight or obese. And if we had to then narrow that down to look at women, it was as much as 75%. So 3 out of every 4 females is either overweight or obese. And that to me was just astonishing. But if you literally stand in the supermarket and look around, I'm a people watcher, I have to admit. So I will stand, I will look around, you can see it. And you can see that most of our population is overweight and obese. And then if you look at what is in the trolley.
In the trolley, yes.
You can understand why. And, you know, I often ask patients, I say, okay, tell me some of the challenges that you're facing in terms of eating healthy. And some of the things that will be mentioned, they will say, well, it's expensive to buy healthy foods, which I don't buy at all, because I always challenge them to make a note for a week of how much you spend on food generally and break it down into what you're spending on. So sodas, fast foods, healthy foods, whatever. And when you add up the foods that are high in sugar, high in fat, fast foods, you will see that you're easily spending maybe over $100 within a space of a week or a little over a week just on unhealthy foods. Mm-hmm. So if you cut that and then reinvest that into more fruit, more vegetables, you end up actually saving money if you cut out things. So, you know, and then you will hear the challenges. People will say, well, it's not convenient. I'm busy. And sometimes it's easy to stop and pick up something from the fast food restaurant. Yes, I understand, but we have various options now in terms of restaurants that prepare food.
And so they do salads and so
correct.
On.
Correct. So you can make certain choices even in a rush. You can do meal prep. So for me, if I cook, I'm not going to cook something different every day. I cook enough that then tomorrow I will have.
Correct is right.
So you think ahead, you plan so that we don't make choices that in the long run will be detrimental to our health.
Let's go back to the issue of food costing too much. Years ago, Professor Sir Henry Fraser, I think that's it, correct? Forgive me if I've missed your title, said it correctly, incorrectly, but he had said it all has to do with planning. Things are seasonal. Therefore, if cucumbers are plentiful, well, then every day you will find cucumbers a different way. Sliced,
correct.
Pickled, steamed, cucumber juice. Then when sweet potatoes are, then you make that the bulk of your meal. So that because they're more plentiful, then they're less expensive.
Yeah. And you can freeze. So anything that you don't happen to use and you freeze, then when it's out of season and more expensive, you take it out of the freezer and put it into your dish.
I think it's not easy. I think that that's the problem. It is not easy to do. And therefore, most people just give up. And don't stay the course of trying to be healthy. And because most of our chronic diseases, unfortunately, are painless, I don't think that persons make enough of an effort. And that includes me as well. But I have made some changes, which I am going to tell the whole country. I've lost 4 pounds for the year already.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. I will share this little experience I had on the treadmill. So I went on the treadmill because I'm not one of those walk around in the neighborhood persons. That bores me to death, walking around. It's free. So I found a very reasonable gym. And the thing is, it was so close to me. I didn't even know, right? So sometimes we have the answer right there in our environs and we don't even know. So there I am. I'm all excited. I do have a picture on my phone. Gregston.
You didn't send it to me on this occasion, so I don't know.
Oh, I'll show you after the show.
Very well.
There I am, all gung-ho about, you know, I'm doing this, I'm being healthy, I'm on my way. And I saw the preset programs. This one was for weight loss. So I plugged in the one for weight loss. And I'm there, I'm walking. But you know how they do them? They increase the
correct.
Speed gradually. Or so I thought. That increase in speed was not gradual. And there I am, my feet are flying, and I'm thinking I have to do one of two things. I either have to try to put my feet on the outside of the treadmill or run off the treadmill. If I run off the treadmill, I'm going to fall and hit my head. Mm-hmm. And then I turned it off. I remembered that you could do
Yes, you can adjust the speed.
Yes, but no, Andrea, I was trying to turn the speed down. And the more I turned it down, the more it was going. I don't know if it malfunctioned. I don't know if it was spiting me. However, I got back on.
Good.
I finished my workout.
Correct.
And I burned 800 calories.
Correct.
104, to be exact. So we are going to take a break.
So I don't get a comment. I don't get to make a comment saying nothing
ahead,
at all.
Go ahead.
No, all I'm going to say is that, you know, the one way we could have avoided this is if we had walked through that same boring environment that you don't want to go through. Mm-hmm. Because when you walk through the neighborhood or wherever you choose to do the exercise, you speed up at your own pace. I mean, you don't get to be tapping on a button and
expecting
to slow down and your legs flailing.
You're off. Enjoying this, right? Aren't you? I am thinking that we need to take a break so that you can chuckle.
But we must congratulate you on the effort because you said you'll do it and you've started doing it.
Four.
Very good. All right, we come back in seconds.
Love Life presents Love Like This, a special Valentine's celebration and night of romance with host of Love Life, Dr. Denise J. Charles and friends. Featuring the smooth vocals of Kelly Cadogan and Larynx, Latin dance, spoken word, and real life love stories. Love Like This, the show, will put you in the mood for romance. Come and witness special power-packed sessions on what men want, what women want, SOS, Save Our Sets, and Loving Me. Great prizes and giveaways. Come dance the night away. An open bar awaits you. Saturday, February 15th, Divi Southwinds Beach Resort at 6 p.m. for Love Like This, the live show. Admission at the door, couples $70 and singles $40. Love Like This. You never knew love like this before.
Sports Month in Review coming this Friday on VOB 92.9 FM and The Beat 104 in association with Standard. Standard is celebrating the start of 2020 with a massive store-wide sale. Standard, where quality is a lifestyle.
Now here comes Wall. Will he get there? It's anyone's guess on the line.
Well, it's past approaching 6:30 now, and you're listening to the Voice of Barbados, 92.9 FM. It's the Better Health Radio Show. We've got Dr. Renee Boyce on deck, and she has her guest with us. Let's go back to the conversation.
Good evening to everybody who's just joining us, and welcome back to those who've been with us since the start of the show. And I've been so excited. As I was coming, I was telling Andrea that when I get to the studio, I just get so excited. And apparently, I was so excited that I forgot to give the numbers. But we know those numbers, 434-1790 to get us here in the studio. Or if you want to send us a WhatsApp, 266-4862. Yes, that is correct, 4862. So 266-4862. And today, we're finishing off our Get Healthy series with Dr. Andrea Bradshaw. We're talking about being overweight and being obese. So just before we had gone to the break, we were discussing my near-death experience on the treadmill. So we're going to talk about food. Let's talk about food, Andrea, not exercise and how it can kill you.
Well, food is there to keep us healthy,
not to kill us. And alive.
So the most important thing, I think, is to keep it simple, is to look at the portions. The first thing is, I think we tend to eat too much. Not just too much of the wrong thing, but too much generally. Especially if you go to fast food restaurants, they always encourage you to upsize. And we think, oh, value for money. So, you know, more for less. But really and truly, you're eating more than your body needs. Unless you're planning to go and run a marathon or something, you're carb loading. There's no need to have the upsized 20-ounce soda or chips or whatever. So I usually say if you're eating at home or eating out, the plate is a good starter to make sure that your food stays within the, like, a 6-inch kind of diameter. So that there's usually a little dip in some plates.
Yes.
Keep the food within there. The food should not be falling off the edge.
if anything is to fall off, let it be the lettuce.
So that's the first thing people need to be aware of, the amount of food that you're eating. And remember that it takes a while for your brain to register when you're full. So by the time you feel full, sometimes it's 20 minutes after you're already full. So you've eaten for an extra 20 minutes. So just be mindful of that. And then how you set out your plate. Because I know traditionally, especially like for the Sunday meal, there's a big heaping of the macaroni pie, the rice, the chicken or pork or whatever. And then the vegetable is there like a conscience. Little dressing. A little dressing hanging on for space at the edge of the plate.
That's just for conscience sake. I had vegetables on my plate.
But what you should be doing is I always say put it on the vegetables first and let it take up half of the plate. That's a simple way to do it. Let your vegetables, let them be steamed or fresh vegetables, let it take up half of the plate. And then from there, you can have your piece of meat, and apparently one serving of meat should be about the size of the palm of your hand, they say. So it's not supposed to be a big rack of lamb or, you know, half the chicken. And then the other quarter of the plate that would be left is where you would put your starches and whole grains. And these need to be things that aren't processed. Processed mean they're not things that were produced in the factory and packaged. So they come straight from the plant to your plate. So you want things that are high in fiber. So your starchy food should be things like your sweet potato, cassava, yam, things like that.
Bananas, green bananas,
correct.
Those things.
So, and it's usually about a pot spoon to a pot spoon and a half equates to about your quarter of a plate. So as you see, it's quite different from how we traditionally set up our food, where the starch is the most of it. And it's usually a processed starch like pasta or some kind of breads or something like that. You want to stay away from those and get mainly plant-based foods.
I think one of the things we need to think about as well is when we go out to different places, we have a culture of buffet in Barbados. And believe you me, I have been amazed to see how people can, one, pack a plate or container.
Yeah.
And then two,
pack
how they can...
half of the container and then squash
and
it
then
together.
Wow. And then on top of that, they sit down and eat it and eat all of it. You have the choice. You can say no thank you.
Correct.
Or not so much, or may I have just a little bit please, and even so, when the plate is on the table, you don't have to eat all of it either.
Correct. And I try to as well eat my veggies first, because usually I would dive into the starch or dive into the meat, and then if I'm going to leave back anything, it's going to be the vegetables. So I've now made it a habit. Start with the vegetables and then go on to the other. So that's just me personally, because I want to make sure that I eat the healthy, the nutrient-rich foods first. So these are simple things we can try.
I'm trying. I'm really making a conscious effort. But you see lettuce? Oh, my goodness me. I cannot eat lettuce without salad dressing. So I have made the choice to choose one of the healthier options. So not the one that's creamy and... I would choose the vinaigrette ones?
Vinaigrette
ones.
Or apple cider vinegar makes a nice salad dressing too, or hummus. So there are things you can use that will still give flavor without the fat.
We have a call, but before we take that call, we have a message for you, Andrea. Andrea is my doctor, wonderful lady, sorry everyone else, she's the best. So
thank you very much.
Yeah, this is somebody is shouting you out. Thank you for giving kudos, because sometimes as doctors, you know, there aren't that many patients who return and say thanks, you know, or we appreciate you. Some of them do.
I must say I have the best patients.
I was just about to say that several of my patients do. I was going to say that. That's the honest truth. So some doctors, their patients don't tell them thank you, but ours, they do.
Patients.
Yeah. So we're going to take that call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Good evening, doctor. You and your guest.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, good evening.
And the Right Honourable Mr. Seeley.
Oh, dear.
Well, thank you kindly.
he has a right to the title Honourable, because he's an honourable gentleman. I know him well. Anyway.
Okay.
Don't let me ask. I have two questions to ask. And the first is this. Can you explain to me what is the difference between obesity and overweight?
Sure. So, basically, when you're talking about weight, we divide it into certain categories based on your weight for your height. So we use a simple screening tool called the body mass index, and it's just using your weight by dividing your weight in kilograms by your height in meters, and then multiplying that again by the height in meters. And if you are above 25 when we work it out, then that is overweight. If you're above 25 but less than 30, if you're more than 30, then that's obesity. And basically, it just is a way of quantifying your risk for developing certain diseases. So the higher your BMI or the more your weight for your height, your greater chance of having diabetes, heart disease, and all the other risk factors that we know so well. So it's just a part of a spectrum. Overweight is one part, and then obesity is at the severe end.
Okay, so with the same test, you can determine if a person is obese or overweight.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. The next thing, I listened to you ladies there speaking about things you should and should not eat. And I listen to this program almost every Sunday, except for a few Sundays last year that I missed.
Oh, thank you very much.
But I always told that I'm your resident caller.
You have said it before, yes.
And I like to listen to this program because I learn so much from it. However, let me move on. I hear y'all ladies, and not only now, but before, I've heard a lot of talk about what you should or should not eat. But one of the things that I don't really hear a lot of, if any at all, is what you should not eat if you are on blood thinners like warfarin, for example. Because people always say, eat this and eat that, eat this and eat that, before remembering that you should also be adding to that, but to say, don't eat this if you're on warfarin, or don't eat that if you're on warfarin. So I would like, when y'all are advertising what people should and should not eat, and with respect to the health, you should also mention, if you are on warfarin, don't eat this, don't eat that. It's not good for you. It could offset the way the warfarin is worked, and in the process, create another blood clot.
Okay, so we want to thank you for that, for sharing that with us. So what I will say as well is that those persons who are on special diets, those persons who are on dialysis, those persons who are diabetic, those persons who are on warfarin, before they're given their medications or their treatment, their physicians outline to them those things that they should and should not use. Green leafy vegetables and so on for those persons who are on warfarin. And sometimes the theories change. Sometimes they say, well, if you are controlled on this particular dose of warfarin and you stick to a particular diet, then that's okay to include some of those things. But the best thing to do is to speak to your primary care doctor or your specialist about what you should and should not eat. I think that it was a good thing for you to say that we should definitely advise all the time, or keep reminding persons that they must check with their doctors before they choose to follow any advice. And what we do here is just general advice, because we can't speak to everybody's specific situation at all.
Yeah, and if you do have any concerns, as Renee said, speak to your doctor or your dietitian so that you can get a diet tailored specific to your needs.
Right. The other thing I want to ask you, Dr. Boyce, when are you going to be bringing a hematologist back to the program? Because the last thing you brought was...
She's on the cars to come. We've already discussed. We have I think there are two things that she's going to do. I've spoken with her already. And it's just to schedule her at a time that's convenient for her
The last time they had a hematologist, I missed that program. And I really wanted to speak to the hematologist about blood clots and that kind of stuff. Because they had two blood clots. And I'm very concerned about blood clotting and that kind of thing.
Okay, well, we're sorry to hear, but we're glad that you are still above the mud.
Yes,
and to be able to call in and chat with us. But yes, she's on the program again to come in.
We'll
discuss various aspects of hematology.
Okay, thank you so much, Doctor.
You are so welcome, my dear. Take care.
Take care, too.
We were discussing with Dr. Andrea Bradshaw about those simple things that we can do to make our plates a little healthier. We spoke about the mountains that we see at buffets. We should really try to use the plate. And I think you can find that at myplate.gov.
Correct.
You can find an example of what the plate should look like.
And they actually sell them as well. I remember when I had my second daughter, her godmother gave me a child-sized plate with the sections actually color-coded. So you can actually find plates that are proportioned for you to help as well.
One of the reasons why some of the diets and so don't work is because what they do is take away the power from the individual. Everything is done for you. I think that if you start out and you do get some guidance, then you make the effort,
you do it yourself because you're doing it for you. When you get that in your brain that I'm fighting for my life, literally in some cases,
correct,
you will do it quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Right, because you have to take control, basically. And to remain motivated to do anything, you have to feel like you have a stake in it. If you feel like you don't have a stake in what you're doing, you're going to lose interest. And that is one of the greatest difficulties with weight loss, is that often you might achieve some weight loss, but then for whatever reason, you fall back into old habits. You lose the motivation to keep doing the right things. And you have to be very mindful of why you're doing what you're doing. You have to keep your rewards ahead of you. And I know you would have spoken in previous programs about your SMART goals. And often people have great ideas about what they're going to do. They have the best of intention, but intention never gets you to your desired destination. I tell my patients all the time, if I'm in Bridgetown and I intend to get to Oysters, I start walking to Spikestown, all the best intention in the world,
yeah,
I'm moving in the wrong direction.
You'll get there tomorrow.
Correct. So you have to make sure that you keep your goals in mind and that you keep taking steps in the direction of your goal. So you mentioned as well that a lot of the diseases that we are now dealing with in Barbados, in non-communicable diseases, are silent. So you don't feel ill until sometimes the end stages. And the problem with that is that you keep moving in a direction towards these end-stage complications like kidney failure, heart failure, heart attack.
Eye disease.
Right? But you were walking in that direction for a long time, and then you're suddenly surprised when these things happen. If I'm slowly walking towards the edge of a cliff, should I be surprised when I fall off the edge of the cliff?
No.
Correct. So I think these are things that we need to keep in mind. Keep in mind, where am I going? What is my goal? And if my steps are not taking me towards that goal, take different steps that means something to you. As you said with your SMART goals, make it mean something to you specifically so that you stay motivated and you stay in control and you keep doing it.
Yeah, it's only mad people who keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting different results. So if you find that your doctor has spoken to you, and as doctors, sometimes we really don't want to broach the topic. That is true of some persons, don't want to broach the topic, or perhaps we're a little busy. But there are many people who are paying more attention to the whole scourge of obesity and being overweight, and telling them, trying to advise patients. And sometimes you can feel the resistance, but I think if you have a good relationship with your patients, you can take the time to explain to them you are fighting for your life, especially if you have children or if you have significant others in your life. I have been, what's the word to use? I think at some points of frustration, I have told patients, I've asked patients if they found a plot in Westbury that they wanted to have for themselves, if they'd spoken with the undertaker already and they were ready to go. And yes, because clearly you're not hearing anything else that I have been trying to say to you. And I've referred you to the nutritionist. I've asked a colleague to have a chat with you. And some people are just, you know, hell-bent on staying the same way.
Yeah,
even with smoking, you know?
Correct. And I mean, that's another thing that I'm glad you touched on, because with smoking, we kind of realize there is an addictive component to it, as with alcohol, but it's so it can be with food as well. There are people who, we call it a sweet tooth or whatever, but that can be a form of addiction. And we use foods for all sorts of reasons other than for fuel. We use it for comfort. Yeah. When we're stressed out at the end of the day, the easiest thing to do is sit in front of the TV with a bag of chips or, you know, or have some chocolate or whatever. So, you know, you need to be mindful of why you're doing what you're doing and the effect that this has on you and your loved ones, as you said, because it's not just you that suffers when you get ill. Your entire family,
I'm putting up my hand,
takes the burden.
Yes. I've also heard of a physician who has told patients, if you get a stroke, get a full stroke that takes you out one time, so that you are not left there dribbling from one corner of your mouth. And this is not being disrespectful to persons who've had strokes, but it is to point out the burden that loved ones are left with because of your careless actions. And that's exactly what it is. You've decided to do nothing. You've been told that you're supposed to take medication. You're told change your lifestyle, and you don't make a choice. Well, don't leave the burden
on others.
If you get a heart attack, just get a full one and go. If you're left now, what do you have? You have heart failure. So you're huffing and puffing. Your legs are swollen. You can't walk anywhere. You can't do anything. Don't even go there. You know, make the changes now.
Because the ball really is in your court. You can do things today that will make an impact on your health in the future. So take control of what you're doing with your health.
Now, somebody just wrote here, interesting bedside manner dot with an exclamation point. I'm hoping that this person is not upset by what I have said. I will categorically state that my bedside manner is above reproach. That statement, and I'm sure it's in the minds of every physician that you've spoken to this person time and time and time again. Have you not asked somebody if they saw a plot of land that day?
Maybe not in those words, but yeah, sometimes you really have to have a heart-to-heart and just make patients realize that what you're doing today does matter. Mm-hmm. It does matter. And we're too nonchalant, I think, about
laissez-faire is my word.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And we will reap what we sow.
Oh, dear.
And all the gains that we've made as a society, we will wipe out. And I think it's kind of ironic that we built up Barbados on sugar and we will pull it down on sugar.
Oh, dear.
So
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah. We need to be mindful that all the gains, all the things that we worked so hard for, we could wipe away in quick time if we don't make the necessary changes, because our workforce will suffer. As you said, our health care will suffer because we are going to be asking more of the QEH hospital, which is already overburdened.
It is a very difficult situation, and those persons who are in charge of economics and health and budgeting and those things, I don't envy those persons at all, because it's a very difficult job trying to juggle where to put limited resources. We have another caller. No, we don't. That person has gone. So let me say no if I have offended anybody, please. I do apologize if anybody has misinterpreted my statement about the cemetery and consequences of non-communicable diseases such as heart attacks and strokes and so on. It's just to highlight that these things are very serious. And until you have either had a heart attack or a stroke, or you are caring for somebody, you won't understand.
I saw it as exactly what you just said. I didn't see it as an insult. I didn't see it as an offense. I saw it as a need to impress upon people, this is what you have to do.
And the other thing too, I remember when I was an intern or a medical student in accident and emergency. And then again, the scene replayed before my eyes when I was doing the family medicine program. I watched a man having a heart attack, and it was an awful thing.
Awful
thing to watch, because he was in anguish. The pain, there's nothing to describe that pain. It was, wow.
And often sometimes getting persons who have suffered these disastrous consequences to speak to patients.
Aha, you know what? There's an idea for the show. I'm going to eat. Yeah. Thank you,
and
Andrea.
They will tell you, if I had followed the advice, they'll be the first ones to say, if I had done what the doctor had been telling me for years, what my family had been telling me for years, I would not be in this position. So sometimes, you know, you have to put it bluntly, and people need to hear firsthand what they would be up against if they keep doing the things they're doing.
I do remember that on another radio station, I think it's a VOB station as well, I'm not sure, I could be wrong, but there was somebody who is well known in the radio circles on the call-in programs and so on, and he was in hospital and suffering from the consequences, yes, VOB, the consequences of smoking. And he called in to try to warn persons about the consequences of smoking. So I do think that that's a very good idea for another program. We have 10 minutes, Andrea, so let's talk about incorporating safe exercise.
Yeah, no more treadmill accidents.
No more.
Well, Gregson made an important point. You have to do something that you enjoy. So you mentioned that you find walking boring, whereas it seems that that would be something that he would more enjoy. So you have to find something that works for you. There's no one size fits all. And the important thing is to start. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing.
Just I think that's the biggest problem. We have a call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health. Oh, sorry that we missed that call, but we still have a few minutes, so please call in again, 434-1790. And if you want to send us a WhatsApp again, 266-4862. Andrea?
Right, so sorry. So I was just saying that the hardest part sometimes is just to get going. And the thing is, just whatever you can put into your schedule that you will enjoy, even if it is just for a few minutes, you can work it into your day. It doesn't have to be set aside at the end or the beginning of the day. If it's a case where you get out of the bus or the van a few stops earlier and walk, you take the stairs instead of the elevator.
I told that to a patient the other day, get out a couple bus stops down the road. I mean, if you live in Boscobel and bus stops are
yeah,
very
not
far.
Not on a dark, lonely road,
but
where it is safe. You know, so you incorporate it into your day. I had a patient who was finding it difficult to exercise in the morning or in the evening, and he takes a walk at lunchtime, and I'm so proud of him for it.
But believe you me, Andrea, that was my problem. I live in St. Lucie, and for me to get up in the morning sometimes, it's a real struggle. And then in the evenings, it's carting the children here, mm-hmm. their rehearsals at church and so on and so forth. And you know, somebody suggested to me, why not work out during the day? And yeah. I sat down there with my mouth open like a total puppet. Rennie, you went to school, you have more than one degree, you could not think that you could work out during the day. But
yeah, so you just have to find what works for you. And my trainer, he would say to me all the time, hi Randy, he would say to me all the time, just get started, do something, because if... Sorry.
All right, we have a call. We're going to try to say this call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Yeah, good night. I normally listen to your show. And I know got in time to hear you all talking about walking. And I was on the road walking this morning from 6 to 12. No finish.
Oh, what were you doing all this time?
Walking. Just walking.
Oh, for the whole day?
Yeah, you can see the whole day. Because they started at 6 to 12 and went to bath and no finish.
Okay, well, kudos to you, sir.
I just given the time there, you're all talking about walking.
Oh, yes, that's important. Yes, that is the important part, to be here to listen to us 6 to 7 every Sunday on the Better Health Radio Show.
Then again, I'm a guy who walks around the island, so it's nothing new to me.
Oh, congrats to you. How old are you, though?
I'm a walking champion.
How old are you?
I'm 65 last December.
Oh, congrats. See? So age is no excuse.
Yeah. It's no excuse. I walk miles and miles. I even won a title in Port of Spain already, San Fernando, Port of Spain. So walking is me, and I am walking.
Okay, congrats to you, sir.
Thank you.
And thanks for encouraging us.
And I always enjoy the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
All the time. Thanks.
One question here for you, Andrea, on food. The person has sent in a message to jumpstart their healthy eating. They did 30 days of raw foods only, nothing cooked, and they're wondering if there is any danger in such a diet.
Well, when you're saying raw foods only, I'm assuming you're meaning veg and not meat products, because obviously you need to be mindful of, you know, foodborne illnesses. But a plant-based diet is what we're trying to eat more of. There's nothing that says you have to only eat a plant-based diet. You can put in your animal fats. I mean, yeah. Animal products, not animal
it
fats.
It must have a mother.
You know, but that would be my only precaution there, is to just be safe with regards to foodborne illnesses.
We have another comment on WhatsApp in our last 5 minutes. Initially, the plan was to update the listening audience about the coronavirus. And this person here is asking, I have seen some homemade remedies and special diets for curing or preventing the coronavirus on social media. And they're asking if these things really do work. So we can categorically say...
They do not.
They do not.
I saw that message as well. Someone told me a Chinese doctor has found the cure and it's garlic water. So no, it is not garlic water.
Chirp, chirp. Here are the crickets. We have another call. Good evening. Welcome to the Better Health Radio Show.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
Hi. I just want to speak to you guys a little bit. Earlier you were talking about persons having heart attacks, you know, who were careless with their health and all that. But I just want to say I have a loved one who to this day I do not understand why she had a heart attack, because she was so health conscious. By the time I knew her, her diet was almost, let's say, perfect. Low sugar, if any at all. Barely any salt. She was up every morning at 5 o'clock exercising vigorously. Well, not overly, but would do it regularly. And she was really attentive to her health. And to this day, I do not understand. The doctors could not tell me why she had a heart attack. She suffered that heart attack while she was exercising 6 years ago. She survived. They do not even know how she survived, because it was really bad. So I know that persons could be doing everything that they're supposed to do and something like this happens. Can you give me an idea or a reason why something like that will happen?
Yeah, well, there are certain conditions that can be inherited, where you have higher levels of cholesterol, abnormal vessels within the heart, which abnormal valves, which can predispose you to having a heart attack despite your healthy lifestyle. But what we are trying to emphasize is that the vast majority of heart attacks and strokes are because of lifestyle based risk factors, things that we can change. But yes, you're correct, there are those unfortunate cases where it is something outside of a person's control that can contribute to a heart attack.
Right. So is there anything preventative that can take place, like for other family members? What can other family members do to find out if they have like an irregular condition?
Well, anytime you have a family member who has a stroke, heart attack, it actually, if they're a close family member, puts you at increased risk because you share similar genes and you may have the same underlying issue. So that would be an opportunity for you to get to your physician to make sure that you have your blood pressure, your sugar, your cholesterol, and any other necessary tests that they deem appropriate done. So that is one thing that you should be doing as a member of this person's family.
All right. Okay, thank you, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that goes for some of the other chronic diseases like cancer and so on and so forth. If you have like in my case, for example, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer in her 40s, which means that I had to start screening much younger than the recommended age because, well, she's my mother. Mm-hmm. So make sure you, and that's why we also advocate on the show, get a regular checkup. Get a regular checkup. Make sure you go to your doctor at least once a year and get a checkup. We have all of 2 minutes, Andrea. 2 minutes that we can let you summarize and your take-home point, what you want persons to know, to keep in their heads, to start doing, for example.
Right. So the main thing that I want to get across is start thinking about what you're putting into your body. We usually talk about diet in terms of depriving ourselves of things, but let's change that mindset and think of what am I putting in. Let me put in things that are healthy. Let me put in things that will benefit me. Let me make decisions for me and my family that will keep me healthy and get moving. Just start doing something, incorporate it into your day, get more active.
Yes, and you have examples in Gregson and myself of what can happen when you implement a healthy lifestyle. That challenge is still on, sir. I am looking forward to lunch.
I have not forgotten. I will keep my word, actually.
Okay. I'm up ahead because I've already lost 4 pounds. Let me just rub that in, okay? Here, watch me, Gregson. I'm rubbing it in. Ladies and gentlemen.
Not for too long.
You have been listening to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. We were talking with Dr. Andrea Bradshaw, a family physician, about ways to incorporate the healthy lifestyle that we need to have to reduce the incidence of these chronic diseases and to reduce our healthcare budget and to make our society a little more healthy.
Correct.
It was a pleasure chatting with you and the comments from WhatsApp. People are enjoying the show. So thank you so much for taking the time out.
It was
and
my pleasure.
We'll have you back again.
No problem. No,
all right. Take care, Gregson. See you next week, Lord willing.
Yes, Lord willing, we'll be here for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. Today we had Dr. Andrea
Bradshaw
along with Dr. Renee Boyce, your host, and she'll come back again next weekend at 6 o'clock for another edition of the Better Health Radio Show. So thank you, ladies, and we will see you again next week.